and Sports Talk with your host, Terrell Jenkins.
Welcome back, welcome back. NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. Year 2024. Year of the Kobe Bryant. Thank y'all for watching on YouTube. Got me all messed up. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. We got a TikTok channel and our Discord channel. What's up with the Discord, producer? How can people check us out on Discord?
That's an inside thing for right now.
That's just for us right now.
But maybe we'll open it up in the future.
Okay. What about for our patrons that support the show? Maybe they can jump on with us sometimes.
We'll create a feature like that in the future.
So if you are a patron of the show, and you throw those couple little dollars in a month to make us look this good, now you'll get even more insight besides the shorts and all the other things. But thank you for listening on Spotify, at Relism Pod on X, baby, and our Facebook page. We are on episode 199. We are almost at that 200 mark. We got a great show planned out for the 200 mark. It's going to introduce a new platform that we're going to do on Tuesdays, promoting our local talent. And it's going to be called the Local Talent Tuesdays, where we see athletes and business people all around this area, and we promote them and just talk about the success stories and things that they've done. Loving my Commanders. Now that we got a new GM, me and the producers out here hype about it. He's getting me even more pumped up because he be knowing about the inside stuff of the Commanders, but I be loving it. Love for the Black Mamba and my papa right there and all the love right there for my mama. We got a special guest snowed in Detroit. Snowed in, but he's here with us. He is the host of the Fellas Presents podcast on Spotify. And is it on Apple too, CN?
No, just on Spotify.
On Spotify. Podcast. Hey, that's all it needs to be on because it's a fire show. He focuses on local talent there, all the universities up there. And, of course, he's hyping up his Detroit Lions, which we will get to throughout the show. See here, first and foremost, welcome to Relism Sports Talk. Congratulations to your Wolverines out there. How you been and what you into right now?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. Cloud nine right now, man. Michigan's on top. We're you know, back on top where we belong. It's been a long, long time, man. 28 years, man, since we won a championship. So we're definitely, you know what I'm saying, you know, feeling good about that. But now it's time to turn the page and support the Lions, man. We got a big, big game tomorrow. You know, Matt Stafford is going to be definitely in the building. And it's kind of a split. Do we?
Don't pop a bubble yet. Don't do it yet.
No, I'm just saying.
You want to win that game.
The name is called the Fellas Presents Sports Rap.
I love it, baby. And you got to check it out, man. It's a fire show. He throws a little hip-hop in there also. It's off the chain. I love listening to it. But today we're going to talk about, of course, NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. And then we're going to start off, though, see it, with some coaching news, ins and outs. And before we get to that, on Relism Sports Talk, me and the producer, we definitely know what we like to do. But we like to talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent to the big time storyline. That's right. And the big time storylines was all these coaches, not like scrub coaches. We saw like the GOATs leaving, gone. But before we get to those, let's talk about your coach. Your coach is out there smiling. Harbaugh's out here smiling through all adversity, through all the everything, people talking about him and everything. All he did was say, I'm going to win. And we're going to have fun doing it. And what'd he say? What's his catchphrase? See it? Who has it better than us?
Who got it better than us, baby?
Nobody. I love that joke. I love that joke. But so we looking at this. And
yes, sir.
And we look at the, you know, the things that's going on in the university. It might be some legality issues going on. What do you think is going to happen with Harbaugh, in your opinion? Real quick, I want to get to the coaching stuff real quick before we get to the meat and potatoes, because I think this is some hot topics and to show respect for the greats. Do you think that he's going to stay and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with it because I think my team is loaded. I'm going to keep showing y'all over and over again. Or he's like, I'm going to just go to the NFL, get my big fat paycheck, and get that Super Bowl that eluded me when I was with the 49ers. What do you think?
So, you know, shout out to Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, I'm going to be, you know, he's been transparent with the university, I think, from the get-go. He's always said that he has some ambition for the NFL. He was there, you know, definitely had success there. So I think it's definitely on his plate. Now that he has won a national championship, I think that, you know, this may be a time where he focuses on winning a Super Bowl, because we can't forget he went to a Super Bowl in the NFL, was in two NFC championship games as well. So he was on the cusp of a Super Bowl, you know, for 3 of the 4 years that he coached in the NFL. So I think that is his ambition. I think he's going to look for the right fit. I don't think he wants to go through a ground level situation where it has to be a total rebuild. So a team like LA, the LA Chargers, I think are the ideal fit for him, because again, you have the quarterback there in place. You have a couple of pieces on the offense and defense. There's going to be some changes, of course, but you're not building from ground zero. So I think that's a situation that may appeal to him. And I think that if he does, you know, desire to go to the NFL and that opportunity presents itself, he may go.
I agree with you. And a lot of people are talking about different teams, you know, Atlanta here and some other team, the Raiders. But to your point, I think that your choice is the most accurate one, because you remember when he went to Michigan, he wasn't as successful until he found that quarterback that he got with in JJ. You know what I mean? Those last 3 years, he's been elevating each time. You know, once he found that quarterback, like you said, he's already got Herbert there. You ain't got to look for it in Atlanta. You ain't got to look for it with Washington. You don't have to look for it with the Raiders. So I think that's a great choice, great choice. And another guy that left after with his head between his legs, which I love to say. Sorry, George Teague. Sorry, my boy Brandon. Nick Saban, who is the college football GOAT? And I'm just going to admit to that. And it's not just for what he did at Bama. People forget what he did at Michigan State. People forget what he did at LSU. This guy.
He didn't do nothing that state.
He didn't do nothing.
I love him, but he didn't do nothing that state, though.
He did more than he did with the Dolphins. State. He did more than he did with the Dolphins.
I forgot about that Dolphins.
Yeah, see, I'm gonna bring that up, you know, because that's something that's always gonna be on him. And I think that he might be trying to come to the NFL to rewrite that wrong. I really do. Kind of like a Pete Carroll type, and some other college coaches that did that. Especially now that Jim Harbaugh's getting all this publicity and everybody wants him. He's like, hold on, what about me? I'm the GOAT. Come snatch me up. You know, I don't know. That's just my thing. But do you think Saban's done?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he's done, man. I think that, you know, he's been doing it a very, very long time. You know, we talk about the Michigan State years. People forget about that because that was so long ago. He coached in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns under Bill Belichick for a few years as well. He's been doing it a long time. And for me, when you look at a guy like Harbaugh, he's 60 years old. You know what I mean? He still has some, you know, some very, very good years in front of him. You know, Nick Saban, you give him credit, man. I call him Nick the Dick, man, because he definitely was been doing beating guys down, fucking teams up out here. his duration of time at Alabama, man. So he was definitely a great football mind. He did his thing. But he's 72 years old. He looks good for 72, but he's 72 years old, man, and it sounds like he's not really about this new era of college football where the NIL is very, right. very, very prevalent. You know, you recruit these guys, some guys 3, 4, 5 years, and then all of a sudden you think you know, you got them in the bag, and they decide to take a bigger bag from another school, or they, you know, enroll in your school and then decide a year later that they're going to bounce. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, I think that's a little bit more for him. That's a little bit much for him. What more does he have to prove? You know what I'm saying? No. What more does he have to prove on the college level? He's done it. He's been a pro. It didn't quite work out. I think he's going to go to TV. I think a lot of folks haven't really seen the personality that, you know, he possesses. He's kind of seen as a stern guy outside of the Alabama fan base. So I think he goes to TV and kind of does a kind of an Urban Meyer type thing and collects checks that way if he wants to still collect checks. But I think he wants to be flexible, relax with his family. He's put in, again, a lot of coaching time, a lot of time coaching during his career. Might be time to just settle down with that family and collect some checks on TV on the weekends.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't mind listening to him commentate games or something like that. I mean, I like listening to Romo sometimes. And I mean, Peyton Manning and Eli, when they do theirs, I'll tell you, I like to see a Nick Saban and the next coach we're going to talk about, Bill Belichick, do a show together, doing some stuff. Mm. I'd be in there. My head would explode listening to them two talk about X's and O's during a game or something like that. Mm. But Bill Belichick, since he had that relationship with Saban, now he's gone. Now he's gone. They got Gerard Mayo taking the spot. Were you surprised that he was gone first, that they let him go before he broke John Shula's record?
So a couple of things went on here. I think that respectfully, he's been doing it a very, very long time. But But he lost his golden touch. He lost his golden touch with that team. It's no Tom Brady. And it was kind of apparent that the talent that he had brought in the last couple of years, even with the time when Tom was there, did not amount to much, you know what I'm saying, in year three or four. You know what I mean? His last three or four drafts have just not really produced the talent that you need to compete in the NFL. And unfortunately, we saw him kind of fall off. Yeah. With that being said, I think he's not done. I think he wants to prove himself still a great coach without Tom Brady, because a lot of folks are now questioning his greatness. Yes. Overall, as a talent evaluator myself, I question that. And also as, you know, as how great of a coach was. You had the best to do it. You know what I'm saying? He left you and went to a whole new situation with Todd Bowles. Respect to Todd Bowles, but went there. I'm sorry, not with Todd Bowles. I'm sorry. Who's the head coach over there?
Oh, he's the dude. The guy that was Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry.
I know who you're talking about.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Went over there, won a championship, you know what I'm saying? Right after that, after basically, I don't know if this is totally accurate, but it's not, there was a quote going around where Robert Kraft said that, you know what I'm saying, Belichick told him that, you know, Tom Brady didn't have it anymore.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know what I'm saying? He said then he went out there and won a championship the very next year. So, you know, relationships, you know, sometimes they come to an end. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that, you know, he's out here now. He did great for New England, won them six ships. I mean, you know, had a dynasty out there. But I think that, you know, he's gonna be a factor in that San Diego role too. Because I don't think
where's he gonna go? Where would he fit? Where would he fit? Because just like you said.
I'm sorry, not San Diego, but the Chargers.
The Chargers.
I think the Chargers are going to look at him. I think Atlanta with Arthur Blank, my homegirl, Lady E. I do an Enters the Lab podcast with Lady E and my boy DT. Lady E has spoken about how Arthur Blank really, really likes the New England culture. And how they may be very, very much interested. They may be interested in getting a guy like Bill Belichick, possibly. I say Mike Vrabel as well. So I think there's a couple places he may go. We never know what Mark Davis has on his mind. I mean, we never
know. Your boy's been linked to them.
I don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So the Raiders could be possibly trying to get that championship pedigree in the room.
That ain't gonna happen, dude. There's no way Belichick goes to the Raiders. Who's part owner of the Raiders?
It's just Mark Davis, isn't it?
Tom Brady has a stake in it. He ain't going to the Raiders.
He's in there. Okay. Well, I stand.
Yeah, he can't go there, yo.
But listen, if Mark said he want him, though, hey, if the check is big enough, you know who's gonna say no?
Tom Brady.
He's not the majority owner.
He's not, but he's influential, put it that way. That's like having LeBron James be a...
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
You got a big-time storyline. Are you saying, Rael, on Realism Sports Show, that Tom Brady would hate on Bill Belichick and tell Mark Davis that this is not the coach you need to come here?
Yes, I'm saying that. If he's going to let his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, get fired, you going to let your coach... Josh McDaniels, your offensive coach that was successful with you all that time, get fired? Why you ain't gonna let the coach that wanted you gone so many years in your team? Why would you want him to come?
What if he's enamored with him?
It don't matter. Mark Davis ain't prove shit. Who's Mark Davis? They probably looking at him.
I know we want to move through this real quick. Let me throw another one out there. What if somehow Green Bay pops Dallas in the first round? We're gonna talk about the game.
Yes.
And Jerry Jones decides that maybe Mike McCarthy is not the guy.
Yes.
He possibly go after a guy like Belichick.
Yes, he will. I know I like him, and I know Jerry Jones loves the big-time storylines. Anything to keep him in the news, he's doing it. He'll do whatever it takes.
Okay.
All right, so speaking – I'm going to skip Pete Carroll because – he gets on my nerves anyway. Even though I want to talk about him in the future, about what he said about the organization, not being football people. I thought that was crazy and good. But Mike Vrabel, like you said before, Mike Vrabel, are you nervous that they, I mean, are you surprised that Tennessee let him go as opposed to Mike Vrabel leaving? But before you answer that, I want to lead this into it because we've seen the success of Vrabel and other defensive players that have made it. We saw Antonio Pierce now with the Raiders do his thing. We saw D'Amico Ryans out here, rookie coach, leading division. Do you think that Gerard Mayo is getting looked upon in those kind of lights. And we see Robert Saleh for the 49ers with the Jets. I mean, we see these defensive minds getting elevated. Do you think Jerod Mayo just happened to be in a good spot? Or is he just going to be that transcendent of a coach?
When you speak on Jerod Mayo, I think he's put in the work at the assistant level. I think he gained a lot of trust within that organization, even with Bill. I think Bill probably recommended him as a guy because, you know, they didn't even go through any type of interviews or anything. They didn't even look outside the building. It was just like, okay, if Bill is gone, this is our guy. Some people said, and I haven't read this myself, but it was some folks were talking about it in my group chat, that it may have been somehow written in his contract that Mayo was his successor. So with that being said, he's proven himself not only to Bill, but also to Robert Kraft to be a sound football mind, somebody innovative that they want to build around. And this is the succession plan. And whenever Bill was going to leave, this was going to be who the choice was going to be. So I'm eager to see what Jerod Mayo can do. But the key points to it, and getting back and swing it full circle back to Vrabel, what does Vrabel not have?
A quarterback.
What does Robert Saleh not have? A quarterback. They produced top 10, top 15 defensive playoff caliber defenses, but they haven't had a consistent offensive output for them to have consistent success. Now, Vrabel is a guy I think is, again, very interesting. That Charger job, I think, is probably
everybody wants it.
them, Atlanta, and Washington are probably the top three jobs out there when you look at personnel, current roster, and ownership situation. Some of the other teams, you're going to have some faulty. Carolina, you're going to have some problems with the ownership and the roster. You know, some of those other jobs are just not going to be as appealing to me as those three jobs are. So right. I think Vrabel kind of plays into point there. But again, Atlanta, they're in position to get another quarterback. But again, if he goes there, I think he needs a quarterback. I think he's definitely going to try to get the Charger job, or his agent should be trying to get him in touch with those folks to get out there. And again, any other opening there, because it's only 32 of the NFL jobs, man. And you know, when you get one of those jobs, multi-million-dollar person a year you become. So it's still a very, very, very any job. Carolina, Washington, all those jobs are very, very coveted jobs. So very eager to see how this plays out.
And Seattle now, it's crazy.
Maybe Cowboys it's, again. Maybe
and,
Cowboys.
And we go get to the playoff teams because I got four playoff teams that if they don't win, their coach might get fired. And we'll get to that.
But
four of them. We're going to start it off with today's game. We're about 30, 40 minutes away. Very first game on Super Wild Card Weekend. I am so hyped. My brother's out here cooking meals out here for us. Can't wait. Producer, we might be going to eat. Anyway, the Browns and my boy David, they going on the road to play the division winner Texans. So we look at it. We got old school versus new school. We got Joe Cool Flacco and CJ Stroud. So so for the Browns, if you had to pick one player before we get to the team who we think is gonna win, we'll do that at the end of each game. The most important player for the Browns to be successful, if you had to pick one player to have an impact on the game, who is it for the Browns?
I just gotta pick one.
One, just one impact player.
Okay. I find it hard to follow rules, Real, so I'm sorry. I'm gonna say Amari Cooper. I'm gonna say Amari Cooper, 70 yards receiving or more, one touchdown in this game. But the most important influential player for Cleveland is gonna be Joe Flacco, old man Flacco. Can he be the key that what do they call those guys in front of the orchestra, the conductor, of this offense? And put together consistent offensive drives. We know the defense is there, even though I believe Denzel Ward may not play in this game.
He might not.
On that. Yeah. But again, that I'm going to go with a little bit more of experience and a tougher defense, man, and Myles Garrett in this game. I think I'm sorry. I'm going to go Amari Cooper.
I mean, Detroit Joe bad boys out here. I said name one. He done named 14 fucking players down the roster.
Sorry, man. Listen, I haven't eaten yet. My collie upstairs waiting to get put in the oven.
I thought we had Brian on from Kansas City for a second.
I'm excited too, baby.
All right. So can we just get one player for the Texans that
Amari
you think?
Amari Cooper's my guy. Mari Cooper's my guy.
All right, Mari Cooper for the Browns needs to have a big game for them to win. For the Texans, who needs to have a big game for the Texans to win?
I'm gonna go with the same position, but I'm gonna go with a different name. And you know, since we just won a championship, you know, it's all
Nico.
Let's go Nico Collins.
Nico Collins.
If Denzel Ward is not in this game, I don't know if Greedy Williams is gonna be on you or not, but you should be able to. If you're a true number one receiver in this league, it's time to show up for CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud, definitely, again, he has to be the conductor of that offense over there in Houston. But at the same time, Nico, it's your time. It's no Tank Dell.
Nico.
I don't want
to say
too many names.
Moran
is going to
make
an impact too. But Nico is my guy. All
right, Nico and Cooper.
FanDuel is in my mind.
I did all my bets yesterday. Anytime touchdown, Nico. He said it first. All right, so you think it's going to be the wide receivers that need to step up for their quarterbacks. But which quarterback, in your opinion, is going to perform the best? Is it going to be Joe Cool, who's done it before, seen it all? Or is it CJ Stroud, who's looked like he's been doing it all for years? I mean, even when his interview processes, he sounds like he's just so mature and everything. Who's going to perform the best? Because CJ's at home, but he's going against that Browns defense that kind of did some things to him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I like the fact that CJ is at home. I like the fact that he does have a coach, D'Amico Ryans, who's been in these type of wars before, who kind of maybe, you know, settle him down and kind of give him some positive advice from a young coaching perspective. Sometimes when we see our coach, we think that he's from a whole another generation. It's good that D'Amico is a young guy, and he definitely, you know what I'm saying, imports some knowledge to CJ about the playoffs. But with that being said,
I'm going with the older man.
Joe Flacco has a few more weapons, and like I said earlier, he's got Elijah Moore, he's got David Njoku, who they have definitely shown that they have a chemistry the last couple of weeks. Then he's got the backside of the backfield and Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. So to me, a little bit more complete team, and like I said, the defensive end on the other side, man, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. It's first playoff game, so.
Which QB did he pick, producer? I don't know. He didn't talk about the whole.
Flacco.
When he was naming off those things, I was sitting here like.
You're getting a whole game plan, bro.
Look, when I asked him who's going to win, what's he going to do, repeat everything he just said? I don't know. Damn. My man, but see, I'm jealous, though. I'm jealous. He snowed in with snow with his family. When it snows here, I can be at home too like that. But we won't get no damn snow, so I can be snowed in. And his college football team was a national championship. I'm a Notre Dame fan. We always smelling the cooking. We'll never get to taste nothing, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't even need to get to the Redskins. Playoffs? You talking about playoffs?
Pete Carroll.
Listen, man, we're doing this for y'all, too. We showing y'all that it can happen, baby. That's one love.
That's what I love, man.
Just like Houston. Houston doing it for y'all, too. This could be y'all next year with the right moves, the six picks.
Oh, it's going to be.
This can be y'all, too, man. I'm going to pump you and Brandon up. This can be y'all, too. Don't mess it up.
Brandon likes the Dolphins. Brandon likes the Dolphins.
Awesome.
Producer likes the Redskins like me. All right, so now we're going to pick the game. Now we're going to pick the game. The producer's going to be the first one to pick each game. Browns on the road against the Texans. Who you got, producer?
I think that Young Buck Texans team is going to win.
Young Buck Texans with the rookie coach, he says, wins it at home. And the crowd is going to go freaking crazy. Because we forget what? Their nightmare quarterback figure is on the other team. He's not playing, but he's on that roster that they spent all that guaranteed money on. So how sweet would that be to get a draft quarterback to just go out there and destroy, win a playoff game, while the $200 million man is sitting over there getting rubbed on over there, not playing.
Not rubbed on. Come on, man.
All right, see here, who you got, baby? I don't know, producer. He might have already told me who was going to win. I don't know.
Yeah, let's see him. Let him know he can only pick one team out of this thing.
He said, let him
know. I got you, baby. I know. Listen, we can only pick one on the money line, baby, so I already know.
Who you got?
Cleveland.
Cleveland Rocks.
Houston 20.
23-20.
Okay.
You know, I went back and forth with this.
It's 44 and a half.
I'm going over that. But anyway, I did make my picks, and I did some bets, And I can't lie, dude. I've did some bets with both of them in parlays just because.
Okay.
I think it's that close, man. I had to hedge my bet because it's tough. This game is probably one of the tough. It's probably this game and the very last game we're going to talk about is probably the two toughest games of the weekend, I think. But I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm going to go with Cleveland just because defense wins championships. And I think the rookie coach and the rookie quarterback at some point have to come back down to earth, especially losing people like Tank Dell. I'm just going to have to go with the Browns just because I think I picked them earlier in the year to make the playoffs in our preseason, so I got to stick with that. All right, so that's our picks for that game. The next game we're going to talk about is the Dolphins and the Chiefs, which is going to be our late game. It's going to be one of the coldest games in NFL history. And people were sleeping on the fact that it's going to be cold and the Dolphins don't play well in the cold on the road. I remember last year with a backup quarterback, third string, Skylar Thompson, they almost shocked Buffalo in the playoffs in Buffalo. So let's not forget all that. Tyreek Hill is coming back home to a playoff game. And I don't care how cold it is. You can't slow down speed. All right. So see, I need one player for the Dolphins. Just give me one, baby. The first one that you think of that is the most impactful player for the Dolphins to win. Who is it?
30 degrees, negative 30 degrees wind chill factor. Definitely makes the wall harder. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of passing in this game. I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert. Okay, I like that. I like that. And you can explain all this when you do your pick. All right. On the other side, because we've seen wide receivers dropping the ball all year. Travis Kelce's been in Swifty land all half the year. I don't know what's going on. Who's their big player that has to perform for the Chiefs to win?
Again, same reasoning. Because of the elements, I'm going with the run game. I'm going to go with Isaiah Pacheco.
And he's going to crush his 65 yards over. He's destroying that. That's a lot. Minus 122. Go ahead. Get that, yo. Get that. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, though. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations. That's why we love the big-time storylines. So we got Tyreek Hill coming back home. Travis Kelce's been subpar at best the past 5-6 games. Who's going to have a bigger game this week? Is Kelce finally going to show back up? Or is Tyreek Hill going to keep doing what he's been doing? Because last time he played them, they kind of locked him down a little bit. What were they playing in London earlier in the year? Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, when you look at it's going to be hard to say who has the bigger game. I think Kelce reappears. I think that, you know, it's a good possibility he scored a touchdown. Miami's defense is just so beat up. They have really no pass rush in this game. Their linebackers have been doing a solid job, but I think they're a little bit vulnerable in the passing game in terms of coverage ability. And again, I think that that's, you know, when they decide to pass, Mahomes is going to have too much time back there to kind of pick them apart. You know, the receivers have been kind of down. But with that being said, I think it only takes one play for Tyreek to do something. He can take a 5-yard slant or a screen pass 70, 80 yards. So we're talking about bigger games. I'm going to go with Tyreek. You know, I don't know the availability right now of Waddle. I believe he's going to play in this game. Yeah. But he's coming off a little bit of an injury. And then again, we're talking about wind. We're talking about Kansas City. We're talking about minus 30 degrees. I don't know how much passing takes place, but I trust the big playability of Tyreek more than I do your boy, Kelce. Swiftie. Yeah. My man was in love with Swift.
Well, everything that you said and everything I said, I'm mixing together as a parlay that will win you a bunch of money. Tyreek Hill, over 6 catches. Travis Kelce, over 5 catches and a touchdown. Kansas City money line. That'll pay $10. It'll pay you $342. Go ahead and lock that in on DraftKings right now. Win that money for Realism Sports Talk. That's a lock. And you know, you're thinking about it, too. You're like, damn, that sounded good right there. That sounded good right there, didn't it? I know. It did. All right. Okay, so now we're going to pick the game. Our producer, Dolphins, on the road where they've struggled, and the cold they struggle. But Kansas City's been struggling all year also. I know Dolphins wide receivers can catch the ball. Who you got?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of passing.
Yep.
So that pass rush is not going to matter. I think Dolphins pull this one out.
Dolphins pull it out! Whoa! Derek will be happy to hear that. You agree, C.A.?
That's a tough one. This is a tough game right here. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm avoiding the money line a lot on this game and just kind of, you know, messing around with some parlays, props, and things. But with that being said, we got to make a choice. I think Kansas City is a little bit vulnerable. I don't know if it's this week or next week that they lose, but I'm going to go with the savvy and the experience of Mahomes and Kansas City in this game. I think it could be close. 4.5. You know, if you got a couple of dollars you want to kind of throw out there, hey, I might take those points from Miami, because I do think that if Miami can put up some points, if they can get to 23 points in this game or more, that puts pressure on Kansas City, because we haven't seen them consistently score. But again, though, can they stop the run and can they put pressure on Mahomes because of all those defensive injuries? So Kansas City in the close one.
Yeah, and I think this game's going to be really close too, even though I did take Kansas City with even giving up the 4 points. But if the Dolphins can win, it's what you said, Mostert and A-Chain controlling the game, controlling the clock. Tua just make – all Tua needs to do is throw a little four-yard pass to somebody like Tyreek Hill, and that turns to 98. So just because there's not going to be a lot of throwing in the game, all you got to do is just get the ball in certain people's hands, because they got a track star team over there in Miami.
Yeah.
So just because it's cold, it ain't snow, it ain't wet, it's just cold. But I'm still taking the Chiefs.
Block it up, right? Somebody slip.
Well, you already saw what Tyreek Hill said, right? Tyreek Hill said, I'm wearing no sleeves out there. That's a mindset that made me like, ooh. Because the rest of that locker room is going to be like, if he's doing it, I'm doing it.
He made it. Listen, I don't know about that. They ain't no fools.
That's what he said.
If he ain't wearing no sleeves, I guarantee you, when he on the sidelines, he wearing a jacket.
He might be. He could be coming up like Lamar did. He had ski mask on. Yeah, all kinds.
He's going to be out there with the old school starter on.
Yeah. Hey, them old school starters were the joint, y'all. I used to love them jokes with the zipper pocket. Oh, I love it. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Chiefs at home because this is going to be their last home playoff game of the year. I think they're going to sneak out this one, and they'll lose after that. But anyway. All right, next game, Packers and Dallas, which is another tough game. Another tough game. They've had a historic rivalry as far as heartbreak hotel for the Cowboys, the Dez caught it game, and then the Aaron Rodgers, fourth down, Dak Prescott's rookie year, making that unbelievable throw to the tight end on the sidelines. So I'm going to speed this up a little bit. We're just going to get to the key factors real quick.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't freeze. I just wanted to see what I wanted to ask, because this game has a whole lot of internal stuff with it, and I hate cutting it short.
You played dead for me.
He's like, yo, what did I drink? Well, he just stuck. But the Dallas Cowboys, you know, historically in the playoffs, lately especially, they've been subpar at best. The Packers, they're young and they just don't even know what's going on. They have so much young talent. I'm fearful of them in the future. So as we look at the game, who has the coaching advantage in this game? McCarthy, he's coming back. He's coming back to Green Bay. Maybe there's some butterflies. Maybe he thinks his job's on the line. I don't know. Who do you think has the coaching advantage in this game?
You know what? I'm so oblivious. I never even thought about that storyline to this game, that McCarthy and Green Bay was looking back up. I'm so locked into what Jordan Love has been doing over there. What Dak has been doing. I didn't even think about that. So that's a great point, Rail. So when I look at that, you know, he definitely wants. I think McCarthy, man, you got to give him a little bit of an edge here. He's kind of reinvented himself. He had to go away and kind of, you know, saying get bring himself up to speed to not the new age NFL, but basically yes, the new age NFL. You know what I'm saying? His plays were antiquated the last time he called plays. I don't know if he took Kellen Moore's playbook and just kind of said, you know what, this is a pretty damn good play, but let me just call some better plays for you. But he seems kind of accelerated his knowledge. So I'm going to give him the slight edge in this matchup.
QBs.
But I do like McFleur.
We looked at the QBs. We looked at Love earlier in the year, and they were dogging him. Dak's always under scrutiny. Then he was talked about being the MVP. Then Love's like, oh, he's the quarterback of the future. Who do you think the loser of this game, Dak and Love, can one of them be gone next year? Whether traded or just...
No. Dak has shown himself to be consistently one of the top 10 quarterbacks in this league, a guy that you can win with. I think he's had to mature a little bit. This is going to be a big year for him. to show that, you know, he is the leader of that team. But I think that, you know, you don't move on from one of these guys unless you can somehow get someone who you think is better. And it's hard to acquire those guys. I think it's really, when you look at a Dak, it's probably about five or six guys maybe who are better than him. When you look at Jordan Love, this being his first year starting in this offense, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, that was tough for him to kind of follow, you know, send a guy of that caliber. But with that being said, had a great year and did it with his number one receiver basically out the whole year. And in his, what, second or third year in the NFL, Dobbs in his second or third year as well, Jaden Reed in his first year. There's a lot of potential there with Jared Love, Jordan Love. Keep calling him Jordan Love, because I got golf on my mind, baby.
No, you not. You got the producer on your mind.
Jordan is. I think there's a lot of promise for him. And when if they add now, keep Jordan, and possibly add one of these great free agent wide receivers, very deep free agent wide receiver class this year, as well as a deep draft class as well. Add another one to the mix just in case. Christian Watson is not dependable because this is the second year we've dealt with a lot of injuries and inconsistencies with him.
Our producer, you heard what the fellas present sports rap wrapping up the insight on that game. I love the way he speaks. It's great. Who you got in this game? I know you're a Washington fan and you hate Dallas. I understand that.
Yeah, so I'm going to make it quick. Dallas is winning this game. Move on.
Oh, he said Dallas is winning. Moving on that fast. Not even close?
No, I'm just saying move on. I don't want to.
He just don't want to talk about Dallas. Yeah, who you got, CA?
I got Dallas too, man. And I think they're the better team here. And I think they've been playing pretty well down the stretch. Green Bay, give them a couple of years. Give them a year or two. And they're going to be right there. They're going to be problems for us in the division for years to come. But, yeah, Dallas is definitely the team. And I'm partial to this because I need us to meet next round for a rematch of that bullshit that happened in Dallas. So I'm going Dallas.
First of all, y'all got to win first to get a rematch.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, so I'm going to take Dallas too. But to speed this along real quick, because I know the first game is going to start in about 25 minutes and we got to get across town to get some grub on. But I'm not going to slow it down, especially when we get to the last game, because that's your game and I can't wait to talk about it. The Steeler-Buffalo game, I think we all going to take Buffalo. We don't need to spend a lot of time on that. But I will bring this concept up because Mike Tomlin has been up. Topic on some different occasions on the show. And then we look at Buffalo's coach who's in some scrutiny going on, with high expectations for Buffalo. They did finally get it in. I do have them winning the AFC. I have picked them to win the AFC weeks before they even made the playoffs. So I'm sticking with them. But my question to you is, Ian, the loser of this game, can you see that the head coach will no longer be the head coach of their team next year?
So, before we go, you said you picked them to win the AFC East or the AFC?
No, the AFC, period.
Okay. I want that clear. Yeah, I can see it. I think that, you know, if Tomlin, you know, loses this game and for some reason he feels underappreciated, because like you said, we've been hearing all year long about how he's, you know, not the answer there. Some people who are among their fan base has constantly said that. He got this team to the playoffs with the jitney of quarterbacks, if you will, a bunch of injuries on that team. He still made it out. And I think that there's a lot of teams that would love to have the shot to get Tomlin in their building and on their sideline. So if he loses the game, or if he wins the game, it just feels like, you know, obviously to lose, he's out. But if they just feel like they want to move on, or he wants to move on, I can see him being out of here. Sean McDermott, to your point, again, if he loses this game, again, a guy who's had a very, very talented team, whose window has been probably open for the last 2 to 3 years with Josh Allen, and hasn't really gotten that signature win in the playoffs. And if he loses in the first round, even though they did have to battle to get to this where they are now, the number two seed, but if they lose in the first round, that is a disappointment. And I can see your boy Bill Belichick somehow working his way into his job as well, a place where they have a quarterback.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Value defense, and they have a great, great roster to win right now.
Where would you go? You named all these elite coaches. All these elite coaches, you said, Chargers. Let's say Buffalo gets rid of McDermott. Which one is a more prime, ideal coaching job?
Buffalo trumps Chargers.
Buffalo would surpass. Buffalo would be the number one destination.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know the full scope of their their cap situation. But in terms of roster, the youthfulness of the team, both sides of the roster, yes, offense and defense, Buffalo will become the premier job if something were to happen to Sean McDermott.
I agree completely. So now two games left. Our NFC defending champions, Philly, who's looked, I don't even know, but I enjoy watching it. They playing against the AFC South surviving team, the Bucks, with Baker Mayfield, who might have secured another job. We'll talk about it on another show. I can't wait to have this other show we want to do. But we see the Philly, they're not going to have A.J. Brown. Who's going to step up for them now? I don't know. I'm going to give you the same question, just to speed it along. If whoever loses this game, could you see the coach being gone? Because there's been rumblings in Philadelphia already, and Todd Bowles was already on the hot seat. They won, but... Dang, that was a fire question. Everybody got blown up.
Everybody back.
Look, Philadelphia, they cut me off. They cut us off. We don't want to talk about that. Damn.
Shit. I think Todd Bowles saved his job. I'm gonna go with Todd Bowles saving his job, because this was supposed to be kind of a rebuilding year for him. And again, though, Baker Mayfield, I don't think people saw him as a premier starter in this league. There were some injuries on their offensive line. Defensively, I think they have kind of underachieved, especially on that back end. You expect a little bit better from them from that, the talent level that they have. But I think he saved his job by winning that division and making the playoffs. As far as Sirianni, again, there seems to be possibly something wrong in the locker room there. Again, a first round exit would be disappointing. But now that you added, the layer of AJ Brown not being there, and I believe Devontae Smith is coming in here kind of injured as well, it's going to be tough, man. I can see the tie kind of swinging. I'm not betting the money line on this a lot either, but I do like a Mike Evans anytime touchdown, just to throw that in there.
I got him for 60 yards and an anytime touchdown parlay, because he's definitely going to get – he might get 60 yards on a touchdown in the first quarter off one play. So I agree with you with the aspect. Right. Hey, make this – if y'all listening, come make this money with us. But here's my question now. So if we think that Philly could lose and possibly fire their coach – what job is the premier job now? Is it Philly, Buffalo, Chargers? Which one would be the premier job? And don't forget about Washington, because we have a lot of good things.
Let me address the Washington.
So I just want to put us in the mix. I would still put those three ahead of us
I like Washington. But the only thing with Washington is that everything is so brand new.
Yeah.
We have a new owner. We have a new culture. Which we're trying to cultivate a new culture, because the previous culture was not where you wanted it to be.
We had Sodom and Gomorrah out there, yeah.
So, and again, and maybe you can give me a little bit more insight on this. The gentleman that you hired from San Francisco, is he going to be the president, or is he going to be the GM?
GM.
How is the
Adam Peter.
Okay? So I know that they were looking for a president or something as well, a director of football operations. So again, now who's going to be making all the final decisions on player personnel?
I don't care. This is NFL Super Wild Card Weekend Preview Show. We ain't nowhere near the wild card, so I don't want to talk about Washington.
I'm sorry.
Would the Eagles surpass the Bills or the Chargers?
It's a good job, but I think there's some questions. That's my point. I'm sorry. I think there's some questions. The Eagles will probably, at that point, if something were to happen to Sirianni, will be the premier job.
Over Buffalo?
Yeah, because you have a quarterback, you have AJ, you have Devontae, you have Goddard, you have a solid offensive line.
Do you have a quarterback?
Huh?
Do you have a quarterback? We saw him for 1 year showcase with a great offensive mind.
He's injured.
With a great offensive mind.
And what you may need is an offensive coordinator. I hate to call the brother out, because I'm on my guys. But what you may need is a new coach or a new offensive coordinator, innovative coach, to kind of get him going, because that seems to be the issue. Steichen has those guys looking good, whoever the quarterback is, looking good in Indianapolis. Just like he had Jalen looking good. So with that being said, you got a quarterback, but do you have the necessary leadership on your offense to make this thing happen?
Damn, CJ.
It's the NFL. It's the top of the line. You got to be pretty much out cold. You know what I'm saying? Top, top. top level. Not saying my man isn't, but right now we're not seeing it. You got to be a top level coordinator in this league.
That hurts you. It hurts you. It hurts you. It hurts you. Because you said many times on this show how much appreciation and admiration you have for the black dude, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, because you don't see many black offensive coordinators. And you gave a great insight. I actually listened to it the other day again because you gave so much insight about him and about just the whole diversity of that coordinator spot in the NFL. And now we sit here looking at it like, you might need a new one. I'm like, damn.
Okay, let me say this. He's got to get better. He's got to get better. Just like I say, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for us. He's got to get better. That's all I'm saying. We know we got to be 10 times better. I hate to say it, but that's just how it is. We got to be 10 times better at whatever we do.
All right, I like it. So we're going to pick this game. Then we got the big time game left. Producer, another team that we despise and we hate, the Philadelphia Beagles. They've been sucking, and we like it. They're going to get some Bucks. Baker Mayfield. Can Baker pull out another signature win? Or does Philly flick the switch and somehow pull it out? Because they've been pushing their way to get 11 wins. I mean, damn. I mean, we sleeping on how many wins they got, even though they look ugly doing it. They still did it. I mean, Jay-Z's an ugly-looking motherfucker, but he got Beyonce. So, I mean, ugly can win sometimes. So who you got? Who you got, Jared? Who you got? Philly?
Yeah, I got the Eagles, but I don't think they make it too much further.
You got the Eagles because we hate the Eagles, right? So we can pick them, and if we're wrong, we're happy about it.
Yeah.
We don't want to pick against them, and they win. Like, fuck.
I've got the Eagles because I still don't trust the Bucks. I just don't trust
them. I'm with you. I'm with you. Go ahead, see here. Who you got?
I'm going to go with your producer, man. I'm going to go with Philadelphia in the tight game, but I don't know how long they go. This is going to be a very, 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 very good game, but yeah, I'm going Philly.
I'm going to go to Eagles, and I'm going to tell you why. Even though I hate Alabama, even though I hate the Eagles, Justin Hurts. Jalen Hurts, whatever. You know, I'm fucking... All I know is, I know he's not the most gifted player. I know he's not the whatever, but he's one of the most dedicated, hardworking, trying to improve players that I've seen in a long time that keep pushing to get better. You don't see that when people get complacent when they get their money, Albert Haynesworth. When they get their money and then they just get fat and happy and don't do anything, Albert Haynesworth. But that's what happens sometimes, and he's not doing that. I'm taking Philadelphia also. Last game. Last game, Sehan. Last game. Rams versus the Lions. Matthew Stafford is coming home. Matthew Stafford's coming home. They're talking about a revenge game for Matthew Stafford. My question, first off, is why is this a revenge game for Jared Goff? Jared Goff ain't got the revenge in him? What's going on?
That's what I'm saying. It's not
love for Jared Goff.
It can't be a revenge game when you ask to be traded. You ask to be traded. We gave you your trade to a great team, a great situation. You won a Super Bowl. You didn't do anything here. You didn't raise any banners here. You didn't win anything here. Only thing you did was sell a bunch of number 9 jerseys and sell a bunch of for the poor family. I'm just saying you had a decent statistic career here. But realistically, you didn't do anything tangible here. I like Stafford. I think he's a solid player. And I'm happy that he won his championship. But this is playoff week. You're coming in with the opposing colors on. We can appreciate you next year when we play you in a regular season game. Right now, it's about Goff, who got sent to supposed football purgatory after taking you guys to a Super Bowl. You talk about revenge. That's when revenge comes into play. You know what I'm saying? But he has risen from the ashes. Just like the Detroit Lions, and we're going to beat some ass come tomorrow night, baby.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this real quick.
That's what we're going to do.
Because I'm not...
I hate that as Stafford, but that's what's going to happen.
I'm not going to go in.
There's some trepidation. We got to worry about Puka. We got to worry about Cooper versus that secondary, but we're happy to have T.J. Gardner-Johnson back.
Yes,
we're happy to have Aleem McNeil back on that defensive line. Hopefully we can get after the quarterback.
We ain't picking the game yet.
Stafford's ass down 3 times and forced one of those untimely interceptions that we constantly often saw while he was here. That's what I'm going to say. But, you know, respect to Stafford, but it's all about Goff this year. The guy who won playoff games and the guy who took his team to the Super Bowl while he was in that motherfucker. So let's go.
Respect to him.
Yo, I hate this motherfucker. I respect him, but yo, I hope that your feelings and the things you're saying is just because of the matchup and the build up and everything that it means for this week. Because I know you don't mean all the stuff you said about Stafford, because you can't. Because Barry Sanders, the best running back ever in football, never won shit either. But he sold tickets because it was the Barry Sanders show. And he busted his ass. Matthew Stafford's going to be in the Hall of Fame too. And he busted his ass. He played hurt.
He was a Hall of Famer. He was a good quarterback who put up a lot of numbers, who didn't win a lot of games. That's what he
But he did his part, though. He did his part.
I get it. And guess who else did their part? Peyton Manning's daddy. He did his part. Brian Greasy's daddy. Bob Greasy. They did their part. You know what I'm saying? But at the same
time. That's lack of respect. Lack of respect. But we're going to move on real quick. We're going to move on real quick because I want to ask you. I want to get to a couple more things real quick.
30 years, bro.
Are y'all going to boo Stafford when he comes out? Are y'all going to boo him at the beginning of the game?
I don't have to. I don't give a fuck about booing him. Just sack him 6 times and get 3 picks. I don't care who boos him. I don't care who gives him a standing ovation. I do not want to see a video tribute because you didn't raise any goddamn banners here. So video tributes is for the real folks. Folks who run where they were. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise than that, I don't care if you cheer for him. I don't care if you wear his jersey. But understand that the mission on Sunday is to put his ass in the ground 6 to 7 times and get 3 picks.
Hutchinson, let's go! Yo, he got me hyped. I'm ready to get the pads on this shit. All right, I feel you. But real quick question on the side. As Matthew Stafford retires or whatever, y'all ain't gonna give him no tribute or nothing, dude?
Listen, bro, you talking.
Okay, all right, never mind. You're not gonna give in. You're not gonna give in.
Tribute for what? For what?
Longevity.
For being a good sport. If we give him a tribute, we gotta give every damn body.
Who else? Who else you gotta give a tribute
to? Shit, Barry.
Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, and Stafford. That's it.
But I mean, what are we tributing? What are we doing?
You know what? As an organization that sucked, for freaking forever, and I can respect that because mine does the same. I would have killed to have Matthew Stafford for all those years, right, Jared? Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford.
He's better than all our quarterbacks ever combined.
We've had 17 quarterbacks in the last 8 years.
Same goddamn person.
Who's the same person?
Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins.
No.
Ain't much difference.
It's not much difference, but it's the organizations that have to build around him.
We just happened to oblige him and send him to the Rams, where he had a coach and a defense and a team and a receiver.
So why ain't your team do that? Why ain't your team get a coach and a defense that can do the same thing? So exactly. The organization has to put people around them to be successful. You gotta enhance these people.
Instead, though, for all those who came before him, who mailed far shit, a lot of motherfuckers came before him and lost many games and stood out of their position.
As Kansas City keeps losing players, you keep seeing the same thing. You still got Patrick Mahomes. You still got that. But without the pieces around him, they digress.
And digress.
But we only got a little bit left. We got 3 minutes left. And we're going to get into the pick'ems for, I think, should have been the Monday night game. Because I think this game is the only one that should have been prime time by itself. Even though there's 2 games on Monday now. But that should have been the prime time. Talk about it all day by itself. Rams, Lions. Because so many things matter with this game. If the Lions win, they go to San Francisco, which I think is the only team that can go to San Francisco and win. And then Philadelphia or the Bucks would go to Dallas. And I think Dallas would go to the Super Bowl if that happened.
Wait a minute.
If Detroit wins, y'all go to Dallas. But if the Rams beat y'all, the Rams go to the 49ers. So it changes the whole. Because if y'all win, y'all play Dallas and the 49ers have a cakewalk. 49ers have a cakewalk. Yeah, you could. So producer, real quick. Rams at the Lions. Stafford returns. Golf revenge. We got running games. We got running games on both sides. Kyron Williams. We got the Gibbs. We got everybody out there. We got Amaron. We got Cooper Kupp. We got all these players. We got a fantasy treasure game. We got a betting treasure game. Who wins the game, Jared?
I got the gritty Lions winning.
The Lions! Detroit football! He said Detroit in the house to keep it going. Michigan wins the national championship. Detroit Lions keep it rolling. And if they play the Cowboys, they might win. All right, C-Hen, go ahead. Who you got?
We got the number two ranked run defense. We're going to put something on Kyren Williams, slow him down. He may get an anytime touchdown because he deadly around the goal line. But with that being said, I am concerned about Puka. I am concerned about Cutler. With that, we shall come out victorious in this game. 27-23. Let's go, Lions.
I like it, man. I like it. All right, so it's my turn. I've been talking about it for weeks. I've been badgering you for weeks, saying y'all better be careful because if the Rams make the playoffs, they're gonna play y'all and Stafford's gonna come in there and win that playoff game. I'm out here in my Cooper Cup Super Bowl jersey. I'm talking to Detroit's finest C-Hen, and I've been talking about it forever. And now it seems like everybody and their mama is jumping aboard this Rams train. It's just unbelievable they're riding this train. And I've always liked Detroit. Detroit's always been one of my like second favorite teams in the NFC. I guess because they sucked like my Washington team. Plus, Barry Sanders was my best player. Sorry, I'm going to forget about the microphone. But Barry Sanders was my favorite player ever. But I picked the Rams a few weeks ago. But I'm changing my mind. I'm going Detroit football. Okay. Detroit will win the game. I had to still wear a Stafford jersey. That shows how much I love. That shows how much I love Detroit. I got a Calvin Johnson jersey, Barry Sanders, Matthew Stafford, Herman Moore. I got them all, baby. I like Detroit. It's hard for me to cheer against them. The colors are sweet, too. I love their colors. Detroit football wins it. And then they go next week and beat the Cowboys and go to the NFC Championship game. Detroit football in the house. See him. Good luck tomorrow, baby. Thank you for jumping on. Appreciate it, baby. You done got me hyped. I can't wait to go to my brother's house and watch the game. Good luck on your bets. Producer, we always appreciate you and your time. You always making us look fine, keeping us all good. Hey, see him. Good luck, baby. Any last words? What else you going to be into?
Oh, man, you know what, man? Thank you for having me, man. I needed this energy, man, right before I go watch the games, man. Yes, blessings to you.
Full screen.
Happy New Year to everybody. And, you know, everybody just enjoy the weekend. Okay. Enjoy this family time. Enjoy MLK weekend. Hope everyone got a day off. Blessings, man, and enjoy the weekend of football, baby. Go Blue!
Detroit football! When's your next show you going to do?
You know what, man? I've been messing around, man. I need to get one out today, but I'm probably waiting till next probably Tuesday or Wednesday after the games.
All right, be on the lookout. The Fellas presents Sports Rap on Spotify. Check it out. Go ahead and subscribe to it now. So hit the bell, whatever, when he comes out live, and you'll get the notification, and you get to hear Detroit's finest with the hip hop on the side. Relas on Sports Talk, right there. You see, right there, our patrons, right there, patrons. We appreciate all y'all. All y'all we're about to give more insight to. We're going to put some different shorts on there for y'all. If you want to be a Patreon of our show to keep us looking good, go with it's on every episode, right, Jared? Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. He said it's on every episode, so all you got to do is go to the info box. Relevant Sports Talk episode 199. Me and the producer, we about to go get grubs on, watch these games. Be on the lookout for episode 200. Well, we will have a local talent star that made it to the top in promotion with our local talent Tuesdays, where we're going to showcase all kinds of people around the area that are doing big time things and making big time storylines. Thank you for your participation. Relas on Sports Talk, episode 199. Enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend. See you. Good luck, baby.
C-Hen's still there. Hang on a second. There you go there, C-Hen.
Word up. We done?
Yeah. What up, though, man? Good show, man. Hey, man, thank you. Energy, baby.
Yeah, I love it. You always give it to me. I love it. Hey, man, enjoy your time. Enjoy your family time with your daughter, man. Up there, too, man. There's the
definitely,
producer.
Man.
Yeah.
Send me the link whenever you guys get ready to put it out.
It's the same link every time, yo.
Same link every time. Whatever that first link is, just delete that and just use the one
just
that you got in
here.
Just
save that link right there.
Okay, bet.
That way, if we're doing a show and you get home later or something, you're like, fuck it, let me go ahead and jump on real quick. Like you did that one time where you sabotaged the Emmys. He sabotaged the Relly Award show.
I'm sorry.
No, it was good.
You're good.
And we like spontaneous on Relism Sports Talk. Everybody on Spotify, thank you for listening. Enjoy the weekend. We had CH, Detroit's finest out here. Thank y'all for listening.